Hello everyone, and welcome back to another... I'll start again. I f***ed that one up, haven't I? Forgot what the name of the podcast was called. Right, after the count of three. Number one retro gaming podcast, the Retrosylum. This is episode 22 and a half. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me today is...
It's me, Dan from Oddpod. Hello.
Right. Now, Dan, I've been getting your name completely wrong. I've been calling you Buzz Pop.
Yeah.
You're actually Buzz Bop.
Yeah, everybody gets that wrong. I don't know why.
Sorry about that, mate. I've got it all over the forum as
I'm
Buzz
used to
Pop.
It.
Maybe there's someone else called Buzz Pop out there who's getting all the credit and all the thank yous that I've been thanking.
Must be.
Right, so basically, this is another Retro Community Summer Retromaniac podcast where one of our podcast listeners basically... comes onto the podcast and they tell us everything we want to know about them. So, yeah. So let's start from the beginning, mate. How did you come across the Retrosylum podcast?
Well, basically, because I started collecting ages ago, and I've been looking for a retro gaming kind of podcast for ages, and I've only ever found can't think what it's called now, but just the recent gaming kind of podcast about PS3 and Xbox and stuff like that. And I just ended up typing retro in iTunes and came across your one.
Yay!
And I went to the forum straight away.
Yeah, and you've been ever since then. And I'll tell you what, we'll move on to your podcast in a little bit because you do a podcast called Odd Pod Show.
Yeah.
It centers around games, retro TV shows, toys, and I absolutely love it. I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad someone's listening.
Now, you've got quite a few listeners. You've had loads of comments and stuff on the podcast. Right, so we'll go back on to your Odd Pod show in a little bit.
Yep.
But what I want to find out from you then is, how did you get into gaming?
We'll think back to my uncle, because he was quite into gaming when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And he had... I can't think what... what things he had, but he had a few consoles, but I had no idea what he had.
Right.
I remember I used to play them quite a lot when I was a kid. And the first game that I played of there was Rampage.
Right, classic.
Yeah, which is ace, but I don't know what... I think it might have been on ZX Spectrum, but I can't remember at all. But yeah, that's my first gaming experience, playing my uncle's consoles when I was a kid.
So once you played those first early memories of gaming, then that got you hooked. So what's the next memory of gaming from there then?
From there, my uncle again passed me down a Commodore 64.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So it was my first console, like hand-me-down kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What games did you have on that C64 then?
Oh, God. Ninja Turtles. That's the first one I remember because I used to play that a lot.
Yeah.
Theme Park, I think I had Theme Park for it. I can't remember though. Was Theme Park out for Commodore 64?
I don't think it was. I think that was on the Amiga.
Oh, it might have been that.
I could be wrong.
There was a weird game. I can't remember what it's called. Do you remember Quavers that had that bulldog as a mascot years ago?
I don't remember what his name was.
I had a game with him in it, and it was like a domino kind of game. Mm. And it had the Quavers dog in it, and I used to play that a lot. That was one of the first games I played.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure that was on the Amiga as well. Are you sure it had an Amiga?
I'm pretty sure it didn't. I'm sure it was the Commodore 64, because it had a cartridge slot at the top of
right,
it as well.
Okay.
That is Commodore 64, isn't it?
No, I'm sure that's the Amiga.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because the Commodore 64 had the cartridge slot at the back.
That's what I mean, yeah, like it had a cartridge slot on it. It was like a thick cartridge slot, and it had the tape deck, which you had Ninja Turtles for.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's Commodore 64. Unless I'm proper mistaken. But I was dead young. I was on about four or five.
Yeah. But, so what was that about these games then that fascinated you? I mean, you know, why play video games as a youngster? Why not just play with toys? Because I know you're a big fan of toys, but why did video games stand out?
I used to play with toys all the time, but I know games was a bit different. Something you could do that you can't do with toys, I guess. Because yeah, like I said, playing Rampage, I couldn't exactly use my toys to smash buildings and eat people, and it's just, you know, bringing something to life like that. It was really amazing.
Well, you could have done, technically. You could have got, like, technically, Lego, yeah. And then sort of, I don't know, trampled on some buildings that you had made, and then hit little Lego people by taking their heads off.
It wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. Right, so I'll tell you what. So what other systems have you owned then, Dan?
Do you mean now or when I was a kid?
Oh, back as a kid.
Okay, I didn't have that many as a kid. So hopefully, I think it's the Commodore 64 I had.
Or the Amiga.
Or the Amiga. I had a Game Boy Pocket.
Right, okay.
The very first console I had, like proper, not hand-me-down, but proper bought for me, was the Sega Mega Drive.
Classic Sega machine.
Yeah. And Nintendo 64, obviously. I had to have that. PS1. And I think that's all I really had as a kid. Because I had loads of games for Sega Mega Drive, so I didn't really need to get any other consoles.
What are some of your favourite Sega Mega Drive games then?
Earthworm Jim, probably number one.
Really? I think that.
Oh, it's such a good game.
Dave Perry, who had previously worked on such games as Aladdin and so on.
Aladdin was the very first Mega Drive game I ever played.
Oh, it's superb, superb game. Still to this day, looks absolutely amazing.
It's ace game. I'd love to get it again. Another game is Toe Jam and Earl, Panic in Funkatron.
Right, you recently posted something on the site about that, that it's coming out, or it is out on the PS3, I believe.
Yeah, it's going to. Both the games are going to be coming to the PS3 soon. I'm not sure when, but yeah, I'm definitely getting them. I love that game.
You're probably going to sort of like hate me for this. I've only actually ever played 10 minutes of Toe Jam and Earl. I've never really sat down and played it. Maybe it's because I haven't owned a cartridge, but from what I have played or what I have seen recently, and everyone rates it so much that I might have to give it a go later on today on the way to work.
So good. Panic and Funkatron is my favourite one, but I only played the first one for about, I think I borrowed it off a friend, and it was okay, but the second one, what I used to play to death.
So what was it about the second game then, Dan, that really made it sort of stand out and be memorable to you?
I think it was just the weird humour in it, because I was quite into my weird humour. Yeah. And it was like bits in the game where like a big ghost cow will go into one of the characters' bodies and the character would spin its head and do weird noises and just little things like that just made me laugh that proper got me into the game. Yeah.
Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about, you're not just all about games, are you? You're really into your old sort of like toys and cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you tell us a little bit about that then, Dan?
That's what I grew up with. Because gaming, I played games a lot, but toys and TV shows, especially TV shows, I used to just spend whole summers just watching Nickelodeon and watching cartoons the whole time. So I'm just proper into that kind of thing. It's probably, it's my childhood. So it's nice thinking back on that. And that's why I collect and stuff like that.
So what were some of your favourite cartoon shows back in the day then?
Oh, so hard. There's so many. I think one of my number ones has got to be Ren and Stimpy.
Right, yeah, classic animation there.
It's genius, yeah. And then the obvious ones like Thundercats and Ninja Turtles, and it's such a long list.
Oh, I absolutely love Thundercats and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well. I used to have all the figures of Thundercats. I think the only thing that I didn't have was Cat Slayer. I don't think I had the Thunder Tank.
I didn't either.
I had all the others.
Yeah, I had everything. But one thing I did have was a... Did Lino come with a ring that you put on his back and his eyes light up?
Yeah, yeah. It was like a little ring you put on your finger and it had a little spot on the back and you put that in there and his eyes. And the same thing happened to Big Mumra.
Yeah. For some strange reason, I had just the ring. I don't know why, but I used to play with it for hours and I just had the ring but not the toy. I have no idea why. It's quite strange, but I used to play that thing for hours.
That must have been one heck of an imagination you had there, Dan, as
definitely.
A youngster.
Definitely.
Still have that ring?
I don't know what happened to it. I have no idea.
Wow. So when you're at replay, and if I find something cheap on eBay, if I find that ring, I might just like give it to you as a little present, just to sort of like so you can relive those childhood memories.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So what other sort of toys did you like then? You mentioned Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You liked the cartoon, the TV show. What did you think of the toys then?
Oh, the toys were great. I used to have all the toys. I had do you remember they used to release the Ninja Turtles in these toilets with slime in it? Do you remember those ones?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, they were ace. I don't remember what toy was in it, but you had to put your hand in a toilet and like all slime in it, and you get like a minifigure. I used to collect all them.
Oh, what, a little tiny turtle type thing?
Yeah, I think so. And there used to be all sorts of things like that. And yeah, I used to love the Ninja Turtle toys. They were brilliant. Absolutely great.
Did you ever play the arcade game or the game on the 8-bit Nintendo, the Turtles in?
The only one I played was what I thought was on Commodore 64, which I'm still debating which whatever it was. But that's the only one I played as a kid. The arcade one I've only played in the last few years on the PS3. Oh, there's another Ninja Turtles game I actually remembered. I had a Mega Drive, but I can't remember what it's called. It's like a Street Fighter type game.
I think Hyper Heist. I think no, there's two.
I think it was called something Tournament.
Tournament.
Yeah, that was brilliant, that game. I used to love that. I used to play that a lot, but I can't remember what it's called. I've been looking for it for ages.
No, it's not a bad game, to be honest with you. I think the Mega Drive game is really good. It's like a Street Fighter 2 clone, but
yeah,
there is a different version on the Super Nintendo, and I'm going to do a video on this at some point, 16-bit wars, you know, Sega versus Super Nintendo,
yeah,
on this game, because they're two very different games, and they're both, I don't know, interesting Street Fighter 2 clones.
They're really good. I used to play it a lot, but I can't, because it's hard to tell when you're a kid, you know, when you're playing a game of something you really love. Because the game might be the worst game ever, but because you love it so much, you just trick yourself into liking it. So I can't remember if it was really good or not, but because I love Turtles so much, it was brilliant for me.
Now, so how old are you then, Dan? Because I'm 35, so to get an idea of your generation, so how old are you then?
I'm 27.
Ah, you're the same age as Glenn then. So you obviously, your generation, I think, was, I don't know, because I grew up with ZX Spectrum, Sega Master System, you probably were that next generation where it was sort of like Mega Drive and Super Nintendo and stuff.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Hello everybody, this is Damien and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
But back in the good old days then, what floated your boat?
Oh gosh, there's so many things. Yeah, so as a kid, I used to, as I said, watch cartoons all day and all night. Proper into me horror movies and toys, and it's hard to explain because there's so many things in my head that I'm trying to sit down and say. But
you know, I'll tell you what, Dan. See this as like a psychiatrist type meeting. You know, lie back, put your feet up, and you know. Now, the next thing I wanted to say to you was, right, you've got your own podcast. How did this come about?
Because I was looking around on iTunes after I found Retro Asylum. Mm-hmm. I was looking for ages to find something with, as well as retro gaming, retro toys and, you know, stuff like that, and couldn't find anything at all. So I thought I'd just make my own, I guess, seeing that there was a bit of an opening for that kind of thing.
I'll tell you what, that's an absolutely fantastic idea, because it really is my personal favorite retro podcast, because there's nothing quite like it. You know, most retro podcasts either cover one subject. It's either sort of games or something else, or movies, but it doesn't combine everything into one thing. And it really does take me back to when I was younger and really used to sort of be, you know, a big fan of these things.
Oh, that's great. I'm really glad people are listening, because I didn't think I'd get many listeners at, you know, at the beginning. And, yeah, because originally it was going to be just for gaming. Well, then, because I'm into my toys and all the other stuff, I thought I can't, because I'd have to make separate podcasts for each thing I like. So
yeah.
I thought I'd just have to make one on a few subjects, and yeah, I'd have more to talk about than episodes and stuff.
Well, I'm just looking at your little Skype picture you've got here. It's a picture of you then with your long hair. Yeah. Apparently you look like someone's sister.
I know, yeah, that's weird.
You've got a Pikachu there, and is that an Atari Junior?
Yeah, that's Atari Junior. Yeah.
So when did you start collecting all these things again then, Dan? Because, you know, you've got your own little games room or something, haven't you?
Yeah, because I moved into my new flat a few months ago. My girlfriend nicely gave me my room for gaming. But yeah, I started collecting, God, about 10 years ago, I think. Something like that. But it's all because of eBay, really. Because, yeah, I couldn't get anything unless you went to car boot sales and stuff. But yeah, there was loads of consoles that I wanted. And it's because of... like, you know, YouTube videos, people showing off their consoles, and me remembering seeing friends have those consoles, and me having those consoles, and I just wanted them back for mostly at the beginning for just the nostalgia reasons, just to have it again. But then
what
I started
the
playing
first
them.
Things you got then, Dan?
Oh, one of the very first things I got was probably I got a Game Boy Pocket back. That was the first thing I had to get Game Boy games again.
And what game did you get with that then?
I got Mario and the Six Golden Coins.
Oh, that was Super Mario Land 2, wasn't it?
Yeah, Super Mario Land 2. I really like that. And I got all... Well, I already had a few of them, but I carried on collecting my Pokemon games.
Yeah, because you are, like, a big-time Pokemon fan.
Huge Pokemon fan, yeah.
All right, so tell us, what is your Pokemon, you know, obsession come from then?
Well, back in, I think it was 1996, I turned on Sky One, and this weird little cartoon was premiering, so I thought I'd check it out. And it was called Pokemon. I thought it was a bit weird. And then all these games started coming up, and adverts, and everything started taking over. And I don't know, something about it I just absolutely loved. And I got the Pokemon Blue was my first one, and got it, took it home, and I didn't stop playing it for, well, I'm still playing it now, so.
So tell us about your overall Pokemon experience then. Were you one of these people that sort of just went to every gym, got defeated, or were you one of these people like me that basically I'd collect every single Pokemon to begin off with?
But what I used to do is, well, I still do it now, I just, as I'm going on my little journey, I collect all the my favourite ones, but I don't collect every single one I come across, just the ones I like. Really? And I just rotate them, levelling up. And as soon as I've completed the game, I just go back and start collecting them all. I wasn't into the collecting, I was just into the getting my favourite ones and making sure they're the best ones.
What are your favourite Pokemon then?
There's so many now. one of my favourites used to be a Pokemon called Sandshrew. Do you remember that?
Okay, Sandshrew, yeah. It's like a little armadillo-type desert creature.
Yeah, I don't know why I used to like that so much, but I like that. And one called Farfetch'd, which is a weird bird that holds a leek in its hand.
No, I have no idea what that one is. I mean, me personally, my favourite were obviously Pikachu.
Yeah.
I used to quite like Charizard.
I like Charmeleon. Charmeleon's brilliant.
You like Charmeleon. So, did you actually ever battle against anyone with your Pokemon? Because, you know, the Pokemon on the Game Boy had that link cable, so you could compete against other people. Is that right?
I did it, I think I've did it a few times with my friend. I just kept getting annihilated because he was one of those ones that he would just collect every single one, then he'd cheat and get level hundreds off people and stuff like that, and I had no chance. So, yeah.
Did it work like that then, Dan? Could you swap Pokemon with other people?
Yeah, you could just trade with anybody, and you know, the people that have got level 100 Mewtwo's and things like that, you give them £2 and they'll say, right, I'll give you a Mewtwo then.
Wow.
Loads of trading in school for sweets and money and stuff like that.
So, hold on a second. Mewtwo was a collectible character in the game, because I knew there was one that apparently you could only collect at a certain places, at certain events. I think that was probably Mew.
Mewtwo's in the game. He's in a cave in the game, so you can get him. But like a lot of kids would get him and then train him up loads so he could sort of bargain with other kids saying, that, you know, I've trained up this Mewtwo. Do you want it for... I don't know, packet of Space Raiders or something.
So, say, for example, you got your Mewtwo and you sold them to me for, I don't know, for a fiver.
Mm.
What would you have then? Would you not be able to get Mewtwo again?
Yeah, because I'd end up just getting it off somebody else, you know, as another bargain thing, and I'd just keep on getting them. But I can't remember back then how you used to be, because a lot of my friends used to have, five or six of them. But I can't remember how they got them. They must have just traded it with other people to get them.
I think the only way people might have done it is just started a new create a save file and just done it that way.
Yeah, make the game, put it on a different cartridge and just going back and forth like that.
Now, I'll tell you what, this was like a little horror story for me. I mean, I was a little bit old to be playing Pokemon. I think I was probably about 19 or 20, and I was working as a security guard at the Millennium Dome. It's now known as the O2.
Yeah.
And when I used to do my 12-hour shifts, I bought myself a Game Boy and I bought myself Pokemon. And I played that game non-stop, Dan. Honestly, non-stop, powering up all my Pokemon, even just before, like I said, got to the first gym.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, I hadn't even finished the game because I was just powering up every single Pokemon I had. One of my friends came around to my house and he said to me, can I try this? And I was like, you can try it, but whatever you do, do not save the game because it's only got one save slot. And...
I wonder what they did.
He saved it, and I was so annoyed. And I think since then, I really haven't played Pokemon because I had invested so much time.
It's not good.
It's just gone out the window, basically, doing that.
They've sorted that out, you know, now. With the newer games, you can't save over a file. If you try playing a new game and saving, it just won't let you unless you go to the menu screen and press a load of combination of buttons to wipe out the other file. So they've sorted that out now about saving over people's stuff now, which is good.
That's fantastic. So have you found the Pokemon games have evolved in? Because aren't they pretty much exactly the same thing again and again and again?
Yeah, that's why I'm mostly hold on to the originals and stuff, because the new ones, you know, there's new Pokemon and stuff and new places to go, but it's the same formula. They add a few things, you know, like, but it's basically the same with most games, like with Mario and things like that. It's the same kind of game, so fans don't get annoyed, but it's got, you know, new additions, new things, and, you know, just constantly upgrading, but with the same kind of classic look and feel. So, yeah, they're not terrible, the new ones, but they do have the differences.
Now, what I always wanted, because I was such a big fan, I wanted like a proper 3D roaming game like Zelda, where you could go around and explore. But I think on the N64, we didn't get that. We got two Pokemon games. I think the first one was Pokemon Snap and Pokemon Stadium, I think, was the next one.
Yeah, Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Stadium, and then Stadium 2. Oh, that's all we really had. One. Yeah, got Stadium 2. It's brilliant.
So what did you think personally of Pokemon Snap? Because it was an interesting idea of a game. I just don't know whether it actually works or not. I mean, I can't remember that far back.
I absolutely loved Pokemon Snap. I've still got it now. I still play it now. It's brilliant. I love it so much. And I'm so confused why they haven't released a second one, especially for something like Wii or for 3DS or something like that. Because, you know, DS has got the camera. And I think it'd be so perfect to do it now.
I was just thinking that would be the perfect game for like most modern sort of systems.
Definitely,
you have got the camera. You know, you can aim it around. You've also got the Wii. You know, the Wii remote. It would be perfect for that sort of game.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping that they release it for Wii U or something, because that's got the little board with the camera and stuff like that. You know, the new tablet thing on it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they release it for the Wii U or something. But I don't know if there's ever going to be a sequel. But yeah, I used to play that game so much as a kid. I think that was one of my first Nintendo 64 games I got.
This is Matt Dinaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
The picture I can see there, Dan, it's changing the subject. Is that like an Egon Ghostbuster figure I can see or something?
Yeah, it's Egon. Yep.
Now, were you a bit of a Ghostbuster fan then, I take it?
I was a huge Ghostbusters fan. I absolutely love Ghostbusters. I had the Firehouse and everything, Ecto-1, all that kind of stuff.
Ecto-1?
Yeah.
Did Ecto-2 actually exist, which was like the little helicopter thing?
Yeah, I never had that, but yeah, I saw that. I'm sure there was another one as well, but I think it was like a bike or something like that. I can't remember. But I never had those ones. I just had the Ecto-1, the Firehouse, and every little bit that went with it, all the figures and all the different types of figures and everything.
So that was like what we're talking about is the real Ghostbusters, which was the animated spin-off of the movie.
Yeah, I used to watch that too much. The only thing I didn't have, actually, which I thought I had, was the proton pack thing.
Oh, well, the actual one that you'd pop. You know,
yeah, the proper backpack with the gun and stuff like that. I was sure I had that when I was a kid, and I found out only a few months ago that the one I had, my grandpa actually made me out of cardboard.
Did he?
Yeah, and I never knew. I always told my friends, yeah, I've got the proton pack, but I didn't. I had a cardboard box on my back.
Have you still got that then somewhere?
No, I lost that years ago. I don't know what happened to it. I've only got a vague memory of it. That's why I thought I had the actual thing.
So who was your favourite character then in the real Ghostbusters then?
Probably, I don't know. It's really hard. Probably Peter Venkman.
It's kind of strange, though, because I think his name, the guy that played Peter Venkman in the cartoon, who voiced him, was a guy called Lorenzo Music or something like that.
Yeah, voiced Garfield as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, it was Bill Murray.
Yeah, and then Bill Murray did Garfield's voice in the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over that. A lot of people were thinking, oh, so? And I'm like, well, it's Garfield. It's Bill Murray. And I'm like, you know,
that is strange.
Get it.
That's unusual.
Yeah, now, the other thing I wanted to talk about as well, because, I mean, we're not going to just talk about gaming, because I know you're more than just retro gaming. You're into your movies and everything. And we've been talking online. You're really into your, like, horror movies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I love my horror movies. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm a big, you know, horror fan as well. So me and you have been chatting online that maybe we could do another little podcast called The Horror Asylum.
Yeah.
And that way we can cover zombies and all these classic sort of movies. So why don't you tell us some of your favourite movies from the 80s then?
Any movies or horror?
Oh, horror. It's got to be horror, mate.
Well, my number one movie ever, ever, ever made, and this is not just for horror, this is any movie ever made, is Dawn of the Dead. It's
you
just...
know what? I'm in total agreement. Why don't you tell us why you like that film so much?
Oh, it's the very first zombie movie I ever saw. I think I was about five or six or something like that.
Five when you saw that? Oh, my God.
Well, again, my uncle, he had all these stuff, and I used to sneak into his room, watch movies, so Dawn of the Dead was one of the very first ones I saw, and it was amazing. The biggest thing for it, really, was the music. It was the greatest music. I've actually got it on my iPod. I love the music for the movie so much.
I think it's done by Goblin, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely brilliant. They did, I think, Suspiria, I think they did as well, or something like that.
Oh, I had no idea about
that. I think they did a few Argento movies, but yeah, I absolutely love the music, the atmosphere of the whole movie, and it's just, I could watch that movie continuously. If it was like a Desert Island disc thing for movies, Dawn of the Dead would be my number one, definitely.
Well, talking about Desert Island thing, I have got like a little Desert Island question for you a little bit later.
Okay.
But what did you think then of the remake compared to the original Dawn of the Dead?
When I found out that there was actually a remake, I wasn't happy at all. And I was actually, because, I hated it for ages and ages and ages and ages. And there's only a few bits I actually like, because one thing with me with zombies, because I'm so passionate about them, zombies do not run for me. I hate seeing, and those zombies were sprinting and everything in that remake. It was absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, it proper annoyed me. But the only thing I did like about the movie was the bit, do you know where they were on top of the mall showing signs to that guy in the gun shop across the road?
Yeah.
That's the only bit I like in the whole movie. I just thought that was a good idea. And the rest of the movie, I absolutely hated. Just, they did the little, in the car park where they did the whole A-team thing where they did that van and did
It was a little bit much.
It was ridiculous. And you got the zombies sprinting around. And wasn't there a zombie baby in it as well?
Yeah, the woman who had got bitten, basically she gave birth to a zombie baby.
So they went a bit like brain dead there, but it wasn't as funny. And yeah, it was ridiculous. I absolutely hated it because I'm so passionate about the original that it just didn't do it for me at all.
Well, the original is like a 10 out of 10 movie. Yeah. It's just pure perfection. And this, as remakes go, I think it was okay. You know, a lot of remakes I just can't stand, but I thought this was enjoyable. I quite enjoyed it. I thought visually it was nice.
It was just because the zombies running. I couldn't deal with it. I can't see zombies running. As soon as I see it, I have to turn it off. It gets on my nerves too much.
Well, the zombies ran in, like, Return of the Living Dead, and that's what we were talking about online last time.
I was all right with that one because it's kind of a not, you know, serious-y kind of movie. It's a bit more of a funny... Yeah, basically, it's kind of more like a parody of a zombie movie, if you know what I mean. Because it's so I let that slide because it's funny. But if I see them in serious kind of ones and they're just sprinting down the road after having the neck ripped open, it just a bit silly.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
So, I'll tell you what, let's move on to the Desert Island questions then.
Okay.
Right, so first of all then, I want you to pick two games. I was going to say pick three games that you could play, you know, for the rest of your life with, but I want you to pick two games on two separate consoles that you could play for the rest of your life, and then remind me to tell you what the third question is once you've answered these two.
Okay. Well, can I use a PC game, or do that be a console?
It can be anything, really, mate. Go on.
Okay. It's out of two for this one. It's either Monster Rancher for the PlayStation 1.
Right.
Or Creatures for PC.
Right. So, all right. Tell us, why Monster Rancher? Because that was something very similar to Pokemon, though, wasn't it? It was like, even had a cartoon as well.
Yeah, that kind of thing came out when Pokemon came out, Digimon came out, and then Monster Rancher and all other stuff. But Monster Rancher game was absolutely brilliant. It's basically you have a monster. You start off, you know, like you do with a Pokemon trainer, you get your first monster kind of thing.
Yeah,
and you go to like a farm and you have to train it up for stadium battles, and it's like a Tamagotchi but crossed with Pokemon. It was really good. It's one of those good games that's so addicting you can't put it down. You keep thinking, oh, I'll just do this first, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do this, and then it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's a really good game.
Was that the game that you mentioned on your podcast that basically if you put in certain discs or whatever, it would change the monsters?
Yeah, you used to be able to go to this shrine and it will tell you to take the game out and then put any CD in, and then it'll read that CD and it'll create a monster from the CD. And
that's ingenious.
I know, it's so good. That's why I'm gutted that I never got to play any of the sequels, because they were all released in America, and I just
have bits.
I know, yeah.
I'm sure you'd be able to download the ISO of them now and burn them onto disc and give them a go that way.
I hope so. I've been looking for them, but I just haven't been able to find them at all. But I've only ever played number one and the Game Boy Advance game, and that's it. But I absolutely loved it.
Oh, I didn't know it was on the Game Boy Advance. I might have to give it a go.
Yeah, it was on DS as well, but I think that was only in Japan or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, we missed out so much. So why don't you tell us about your other Desert Island disc game then?
Well, yeah, so Monster Rancher is still a maybe, because I know...
It's still a maybe.
It's still a maybe. my number one, definitely, I know is going to be Pokemon, because I could just play that continuously.
Yeah.
That's genius. But for my second one, it's either going to be Monster Rancher or Creatures. And Creatures, I don't know if you've ever seen it or played it.
No, I don't know what Creatures is. What is it?
Oh, it's an excellent game. It's one of the very first... When my dad got me a PC, I think it was in 96, he got me my first PC. Right. He gave me a game called Creatures, and on the front cover it's just like an egg with a little thing coming out of it, like a little creature, and I thought it looked a bit crap, really. It's like a... I thought it was going to be like a, you know, like a rubbish PC Tamagotchi or something.
Yeah.
But I turned it on, and I was hooked for ages in this game, and I've actually rebought it no longer, but I haven't played it again yet. But basically, I guess you could say it's like a Tamagotchi, but it's a bit more advanced than that. It's one of the first games to have proper artificial life, basically.
Right.
And you have these creatures that start off eggs, and they're called Gnons, like little hairy, like, I can't really describe, like gremlins, basically, like
right.
Mogwai kind of things. And all you have to do is raise them, and you can teach them English, you can teach them words, and you can, like, say there's a ball, you can point at the ball and make sure they're looking at it, and then type mm-hmm. the word ball, and eventually they'll learn it, that it's a ball. And you can, if they're naughty, you can smack them, and you can praise them, and you know, you got to treat them right and grow up, and they meet other Gnons and they can breed, and you know, it just, and the genetics properly go on. So if you treat it right, the ones they raise will be right, and they won't get, if you treat them wrong, they could get mutations or diseases and get ill and become naughty. And it's absolutely brilliant. The world's huge. They can sort of escape out in the whole world, and they can discover new lands, and these like evil things, I can't remember what they're called now, but you're supposed to tell them, like, to stay away from them. And basically, you just got to make your own world. Like, you're like a god, and you make your own world.
Sounds
and...
like fantastic.
Oh, it's
Did
genius.
You ever play, like, it was not that long ago, Spores or something, I think.
Yeah, I've got Spore. I was really stupidly excited for that game, played it quite a lot, and then when it got to the space bit, it was horrendously boring.
Really?
Yeah, it was horrible. All you do is, like, at the end, you're just in space, and you just got to trade with other space federations, and that's it, really. And the expansion looked a bit boring, so, yeah, I was a bit disappointed with that after a bit, but it was all right.
But, yeah, that game Creatures does sound really interesting. I might have to check it out on
it's
YouTube
great.
As we finish recording this.
There's a few sequels as well, and there's a PlayStation 1 game. So. Yeah, so you should check them all out. They're brilliant. But number one's my favourite.
Definitely will do.
Yeah.
All right, so the next question I had lined up for you, which is a Desert Island question, is, okay, you're on this desert island, you've got those two games.
Yeah.
Who would you have on this island with you? It can be anyone in the whole wide world.
Oh, my God. I actually had a similar question to this not long ago, and it was the who would you have for a dinner party kind of game.
Right.
And I picked a few people, but I don't know if they'll be into their gaming, because I'd probably have to game with them, wouldn't I? I guess.
I'm surprised you didn't say your girlfriend.
No. I should have, really, shouldn't I?
You insane being stuck on a desert island.
I should have said that, really, shouldn't I? But I think I've blown that now, so I'll make sure she doesn't listen to this. it's so difficult, because it's so, I don't know whether to pick a celebrity or just someone normal. But,
you could pick someone like Sam Raimi, Tom Savini, you know.
Bill Murray on the island.
Dominic Diamonds, I don't know.
Oh, Bill Murray would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
He's a bit strange in real life, though. So
really?
I don't know if you'd talk to... Yeah, I mean, have you seen that video that someone put on the forum? He gate-crashed someone's karaoke and he started singing.
No?
Randomly.
Never seen that. That's brilliant.
Somewhere on the forum, someone posted that. I think someone was having a karaoke party, and then Bill Murray just entered this room. They're all like, oh my God, it's Bill Murray. And then Bill Murray spent the whole night drinking, singing with them.
That's ace. Oh, I've just decided who I'm going to pick.
Who are you going to have?
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan.
I'm a huge Jackie Chan fan. I'm definitely having him on the island.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Jackie Chan could train you up.
He could.
Make you a martial art expert. You'd have no one else to fight against but Jackie Chan. So on this island, I can just envision it. Jackie Chan putting you through these sort of kung fu training techniques, and you'd fight against him and occasionally sit down and play creatures or Pokemon.
It'd be beautiful. I can't wait for this now.
It'd be beautiful. You and Jackie Chan.
Looking forward to this now. I hope you're setting it up. It's lovely.
It's lovely. Oh, gosh. So you've chosen Jackie Chan over your girlfriend.
I'll make sure she doesn't listen to this.
That's another thought, then. You know, you said you've got this gaming room, you collect all these things. You must have a very understanding girlfriend.
Very. I'm actually quite surprised, because when we were at the other flat, we only had the one bedroom, and all my collector stuff was just in the bedroom, quite a small bedroom as well. And I kept saying, if we get a two-bedroom, can I have my collector's room? And it was just maybe, maybe, maybe for ages. And as soon as we moved in, I got it, and I'm really surprised. But yeah, she's dead nice about it. She's not really into it that much. She's into gaming a little bit, but she's not into it that much. It's more into...
So lucky, though.
I know. God, I'm so happy when I was setting up that room, you know.
I've got a three-bedroom house, and she said I can have the little cupboard under the stairs. That won't work.
Oh, that's not good.
All right, then. I've got another quick question for you, then. I want you to tell me a WTF game. What is the worst game you have actually ever played, and why do you hate this game so much?
I was thinking about this not long ago, and there's only one game, because there must be loads of games that I've played in the past that are terrible, but I must have blanked them out of my head or something, because it was so bad or something. But I can think of one game that I played, and it was the one that just makes you want to smash the controller and smash everything around you, just infuriates you so much, and that was Superman for Nintendo 64.
I've heard about this. I've never played it, but is it really that bad, Daniel?
The first level, do you know, like those kind of stupid things, like in Star Fox, where you got to fly through the hoops?
Yeah.
The first level of Superman is basically you got to fly through the hoops, but the controls are so bad that you're basically just flying into the floor or flying in circles, and I can't even get past the first level. And as soon as I do, you have to do another level straight away. I think you have to capture a car, and the time runs out instantly, and you have to go all the way back to the beginning of the game, flying through hoops, and it's the worst game ever. Infuriated me.
Is this a game that you actually had bought when you were younger then, or recently?
My friend actually gave it me. I don't know, actually, I bought it. I bought it off my friend. I think it was Fiverr.
Off your friend? Wow.
Yeah, because my mate went, I've got this Superman game. Do you want to buy it off a Fiverr? I was like, brilliant. Because I wasn't really that into Superman, but I thought, a new game for my new Nintendo 64, great. And he ripped me off.
That's exactly what I said. Call that a friend?
Still talk to him as well. I should mention this. I want my Fiverr back.
Now, you mentioned your N64. Why don't you tell us some of the consoles and systems you actually own then, Dan?
Oh, I own now. Okay, this is going to be a... I'm going to have to think about this. So I've got my, obviously, Nintendo 64. Yeah. I've got my Pikachu Special Edition Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
I've got two Philips CDIs for some reason. I don't know why I've got two. I've got four Game Boy Advances boxed.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got two Game Boy Colors boxed.
Yeah.
I've got about six Game Boy Advances, like, unboxed, just loose. I've got a Game Boy Pocket boxed. I've got a Dreamcast boxed. I only got that recently. Two Sega Mega Drives. God, it's such a big list. I've got Atari 2600 Junior, Atari 7800. I'm trying to imagine my room now so I can see all the stuff I've got. Let's see, what else have I got? I think I've got another Atari thing. I'm not sure. Oh, I've got a Sega Game Gear. Mm-hmm. And Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's lovely. Only got one game for it, though. ZX Spectrum box.
Yeah, I can see it there on your little picture there.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful, that. I'm sure I've got loads more, but I can't think of them.
Now, I wanted to ask you this, though. I see that you've got the Spectrum there, and I think a while ago, I don't know if it was you I was talking to on the forum, but I think I recommended someone that ZX Tape iPhone app.
The ZX Specky thing.
Yeah.
Really
How
good.
How does that work? Does it work really well?
Yeah, I didn't, because when I first plugged it in, I downloaded a few games on it, and I plugged it into the ZX Spectrum, and it wasn't working at all. And I thought, it's rubbish. But obviously, you have to turn your volume up on your iPod, and my volume was down. So I turned it up, and it started playing the obvious, this ZX Spectrum loading noises.
Yeah.
And yeah, from there it started working, even though I accidentally downloaded a Spanish Ghostbusters game, but it still worked. But yeah, it was really good. It works really well, so I was quite impressed with that. But I haven't played loads on it, but at least it works, which is good.
So what system do you find yourself playing the most then, when you have got the time? What do you play the most?
Mostly, I tend to set up either the NES, or that's what I've got. I forgot to mention NES and a SNES I've got as well. I set up the NES because my girlfriend really likes Mario games, so I set up that for her, or Nintendo 64 usually. It depends.
The big ends you've got.
Yeah, but it always depends because I've got the game room set up. I've got the TV in there, so I'm constantly just going around. But lately, it's been the Dreamcast because I've only just got it really, so been playing that a lot.
Which was the one that you bought from Retro Game Base on eBay?
That was the Dreamcast.
And how have you been finding the Dreamcast then?
I had one when I was a kid. I forgot to mention that as well.
Yeah.
Because there's too many things I keep forgetting. But yeah, I had the Dreamcast and I absolutely loved my Dreamcast, but fortunately it died for some reason. I had weird black goo all over it. No idea what happened. It's when I moved house and then I found my Dreamcast and it had weird black sticky goo all over it and just didn't work. So I was quite upset about that.
Something must have melted inside or sunk or something.
Either that or something leaked in it. I have no idea what happened. But yeah, I wasn't happy about that. But recently I got my new one and yeah, I love my Dreamcast. Brilliant game, console.
All right, so I think we should start rounding this up. We've hit about the 43-minute mark. But yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, because I've been dying to get you onto this show, because I really enjoy your podcast. It really is like my favourite podcast out there on iTunes. I really, really, really enjoy it. And
thanks.
I hope you got a lot more listeners and so on. Do you want to plug anyone or say thank you to anyone?
Well, mostly, I just thank you to Retro Asylum, really, because you're the ones who started listening to my podcast and got me more and more into gaming every day. So, yeah, thank you, Retro Asylum, everybody on there, and yeah.
Oh, before we do go, I do sort of like want to emphasise that you do need a lot more emails for your show, don't you?
I definitely need more emails for my show. Yeah, I've only got about two, I think, for this next episode. Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, I just want anybody to send in nostalgic memories of gaming, toys and shows, and that's the kind of thing I want to read out. And if they want to send an MP3 with them talking about it, that's great. But I don't think I had a particular subject on the last one. But they can talk about anything, just anything. And I just want stories about old games, or they could even review a game if they want to and record it and send it to me, and I'll play it on the show. Anything like that.
All right, so any of our listeners at Retro Asylum are listening to this, definitely check out the Odd Pod show. The other thing I wanted to plug as well, Dan, was your YouTube channels. You've got like about 500.
I've got a lot of YouTube channels.
Tell us what your channels are and what they're about, because I checked one recently and it's like, it's a bit strange.
Is that Oddbox, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, I've got my first one I ever made was the BuzzBop one, and that's just loads of random videos about anything. It's quite fun. And then I've got Odd Pod show, which is, you know, obviously gaming and toys. Then I've got Steve the Robot Head,
Steve the Robot Head, what's that one?
It's a very strange character I made on the BuzzBop one, but he's got his own channel now. And basically he reviews games and he does cooking shows and stuff. It's just a strange character I created. He's basically me with a box on my head. brilliant character. What else have we got?
Does your girlfriend think of you, eh?
She thinks I'm quite strange. I've got Oddbox as well, which is my surreal sketch show that I do. And I think I've got a few more. I've got my Pokedan collection one as well, with all my Pokemon collection stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I've got a few more, but I've got so many.
The Boggles or whatever they're called.
That's on my Bogglings. That's on my BuzzBop one. I do my Boggling videos. Yeah. God, I've got too many. I've really got to cut down.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, so let's start rounding this up. Thank you very much for coming on the show once again, Dan. I really, really appreciate it.
No problem.
To catch up with you at Play Expo on October.
I hope so.
Everyone, please listen, download, and review Odd Pod Show.
Yeah.
Really help them out. Right, thanks very much, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.